Look good.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
What?
We just spoke earlier, Don, in our little sports segment, that the biggest week possibly of the year in sport is coming up. If you consider the racing carnival, Bathurst, the NRL Grand Final, of course the AFL Grand Final, they've just had the Brownlow, and we thought, we've had him on before, and I've always wanted to be a friend of his. Rod said that he rang Robbie up. Robbie.
Robbo.
Mark Robinson.
Why would you want to be a friend of him?
Well, because he said we've had him on.
Oh, hang on. Rod's talking. Yeah, Rod, sorry.
I was explaining to Robbo that we've had the debate in the last episode about Robbie versus Robbo. It's Robbo.
Fascinating.
it's actually very riveting.
So have you two finished?
Sorry, keep going.
And I asked you, I said, Rod, could you get Robbie on to come in and speak about the football, seeing as he is well versed with it? And you said, he said, oh, what a Sam, want to be my friend now. As if I never did want to be his friend. And Robbie and I have had words, just as people do have words.
You owe him an apology.
I've had spoken severely about him. He's spoken severely about me. But the beauty of this life is that we don't hold grudges, and he's a very good man, and we appreciate him coming in. Appreciate you coming in. You are. I noticed you drive up in a BMW. Did I see that? Is that a BMW? What is that?
Registration number.
It's a car.
Now listen,
I remember when I used to know you when you were my friend, a legitimate friend. You used to came in a fucking 1978 Toyota. Now you're
welcome.
I noticed, and this gives us a chance to say this, Robbie, you had not that car, but one of them you needed to have towed. It broke down, and I said, did you use the RACV? Mm. And you said I did. And I'm telling you, this is not a paid political the RACV, a fantastic organisation. They've picked up several of my cars for a minimal charge, if you are a member, and good on the RACV.
Best value for money.
Right, so we've done that.
In anything to do with cars, the best value for money.
So Don,
RACV.
Robbie is
and
the Herald Sun.
And welcome to our new sponsor, RACV, for the podcast.
Herald Sun chief football writer, celebrated the 1,000th show on 360 with Jared the other day, thanks to Rod here who started it. He is across the whole gambit of football, my friend, it's happy to have you in here. Thank you.
G'day, Sam. G'day, Don.
Now, watch what you say this time.
What happened last time?
You were very outspoken last time. We had to wipe half the tape. So just be aware of what you're saying this time, please.
Okay, Don.
Good.
I don't remember that.
I do. I do. It sent us in.
Just to clarify what happened, Rod rang me and asked me if I could come back on the show.
Yeah, good.
It was around about the 360,000 show time.
That's right.
And Rod put the show together. And he asked me to come back on. I said, yeah, of course. I owe Rod a lot in my life. And then just waxing a bit lyrical, I said, what about me and Sam? I said, Sam has pulverised me on the footy show. And I said, I've written some things about Sam that he that's wouldn't right. have liked. And here he is wanting me to come on his podcast. And I said, how the wheel turns.
Correct.
Yeah, that's exactly all it was.
How the wheel turns.
That's all it was. He's turned it into you desperately want to be his friend.
It turned into...
I said, mate, I think you might owe him an apology.
You desperately...
So as if, Robbie, that we're not big enough people to cop a spray from whoever and still be on terms where we would just let it slide because that's life. Now,
Have you ever apologised without there being a hastily convened press conference?
What?
Have you ever
apologised without doing it in a press conference setting?
Never apologise. But I'm not. I haven't apologised yet, nor has he. But we're here doing it, and you started it off by saying, you did that. So Mark Robbie.
Yep.
Just your another midfielder won the Brownlow. Has the Brownlow almost become redundant?
Oh, it's not redundant, but it's certainly a midfielder's role. I think the coaches have got to really take a role in identifying other players. They've got the AFL Coaches Award, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but that's an award that I really respect. The coaches get together, not together, with their group after a game, and they send in their votes to the Coaches Association. I spoke to Chris Scott about this last year, and I said, Chris, you coaches have got to start identifying the defenders and the players you give a role to.
Yes.
For example.
Yes. Mick Martin, who got one kick in one game and was probably stopped the full forward.
Kyler Dashney on the weekend playing on Charlie Cameron. Did a really, really good job. Charlie Cameron had two touches after quarter time. To me, that deserves votes.
That's what about the players?
But it's not sexy, is it?
It's not sexy, but I think what about the players award? Now, the players award is only the MVP.
Yeah, most valuable player.
Yeah, but a lot of players don't even watch games, Don. I think that award is a bit... I won't put it down, because they generally get it right.
It's the most valued award. You know, I was on the association when we didn't, based it on what they do in England. And the players vote in England for their player that they think. And it's done very responsibly. Initially it wasn't, but I hope that it's done responsibly now.
Well, how can it be when a lot of players don't watch games of football?
Yes, but it normally comes out of your teammate, and then there's one or two that vote or take an interest from outside clubs, and they, you know.
Well, like
we might pick you. We play on the same team, and, you know, your name will come up from the team we play.
And
then there might be a few others that do recognise you, and it's voted amongst your peers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lockie Neal won it this year.
What, the MB Players Association? The MVP. Well, there you go.
This is not really sport, but speaking of Chris Scott, we were chatting. He's taken on tangerine colours. Have you noticed that? Is his complexion? Don was thinking he's had some work done or something injected into his face to make him look like Donald Trump.
I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought that perhaps spending 100 days on the Gold Coast.
That's what we said.
Would have an impact on his face.
But he played his whole career was up there, and he never went that colour.
Well, he's probably training.
He was what?
Probably training. Now he's just lolling about on the beach, delegating his authority, while the others are training.
What did you think he did? He injected himself.
Well, I did.
No, he said he said last week it was creatine or something.
Creatine, but I think he's gotten something because he's going different colours each press conference.
What a load of bullshit!
What?
You'll get us killed. We'll run into him in the street one day.
I'm interviewing him today at 12:30. I'll ask him.
Ask him.
Don Scott wants to know.
What makeup are you injecting?
Just say you've coloured up a bit. Is that the sun? So you're interviewing him down the line, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, we've had this discussion, but we said we'll defer to greater judge. That's you, Robbie. Don says they're just an ordinary side. What did you say about Geelong?
I think they're fairly stodgy.
Stodgies, that's what he said.
Stodgy.
Yeah, they've just beaten Collingwood by just held them to a goal for three quarters.
Yep.
Beaten Brisbane, and they're stodgy. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't. I would have thought that accusation probably could have been levelled at them in previous periods where they've gone too slow with the ball coming out of the back half. They're very careful. I would have thought over recent weeks, and certainly they're still careful with their ball movement, but they're quicker with their ball movement. I think they're the best team at stopping the opposition, and so they get that facet of the game right, then they're able to kick goals. They're a very powerful team, but what they were able to do to Brisbane won't be as easy as they can do it against.
I was very disappointed in Brisbane. I thought they'd go all the way with their enthusiasm and the way they played against Richmond.
They got dismantled, didn't they?
Oh, I was very, very, very disappointed. So I hope they don't do a Greater Sydney.
So they do a bit of a kick mark. They sort of play a kick mark, and I know that sounds really stupid when you say that, but they play kick mark where Geelong are able to set up and stop them and... It comes in the forward line, the defensive group's there, they flood back and then they take it out the other side. Richmond surge. Richmond knock it on. Richmond just move it forward in any way.
And that's what you need in the grand final.
And it's pretty hard to set up for that, isn't it? Mm. When the ball's continually getting knocked forward. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a ripping
grand final. Have you found it harder to write and talk about the games when you actually haven't been able to go to them? You've had to watch them off the television, or does it make no difference to you at all?
I actually think watching it off television is a better way to watch the game than sitting at the ground, because you pick up so much. It's, I mean, closer. The coverage is so brilliant.
Closer to you.
And in high definition, it's closer. So you're sitting at, just think about, you know where the MCG press box is. It's just, you've been there a lot of times. You sit there. If you're looking at the other side of the ground, Sam.
So conversely, Robbie.
You can see, can you look 150 metres and see who tapped it out? Well, I certainly can't.
Conversely, you can do your job better by not going to the games, by watching it on high definition television on a big screen.
Yeah, yes, yes. You can perhaps do it better, but what you do miss is the feeling of being at the ground.
You don't need that to do what you do.
Yeah, the sense in that. Yes, you do.
Thank you, Robbie.
Robbie.
No, I'm speaking to Rob.
Roddy
and Robbie.
I don't know if you do it better, but you probably do, because you've got more information, because you see a lot more. Yes. But there's nothing better
than Bruce great. Keeps throwing stats at you ad nauseum.
Well, I don't sort of listen to that. I've got my own.
I turn the volume down.
Well, I've got my own stats open. I got my computer open on all the match play, but there's nothing better than going to a game of footy.
You can see a lot of things the camera doesn't pick up, the way starting to run, or
of course
where there's a space or whatever else. The camera can't.
The stuff that happens behind play. Because what coaches do, a friend of mine was in the Damien Hardwick coach's box on the weekend, and he didn't tell me stories, but he was just talking about what they talk about in the box is completely different to what he would look at on the field. It's all about setting up
and of course,
behind the play.
Yes,
and that's not on TV. It's not on TV.
Listen, last week you would have watched that game at Richmond-Port Adelaide.
Yep.
I thought I came away and thought, at a critical moment, Ebert sacrificed his body running in and took a heavy knock. Now, to me, the game should have been stopped. They should have brought the stretcher out or that vehicle, or he should have gone straight over the line. I thought
the second one.
What?
Walk over the line.
Yeah, but the game should have been stopped. The boy had concussion. You either bring the stretcher out, that, or get him over the line. And they still had to, the play continued while they walked him to the band. So they were disadvantaged at a critical part of the game.
For what, 35, 40 seconds? Yeah, that's an interesting point. I thought, just walk over the line. What are you doing? You're not coming back on. Get off in the forward pocket. The second thing, calling the stretcher, we don't know what Ebert was thinking. Ebert might have been thinking, I'm getting up, I'm standing up. He's a pretty tough bugger. He's a pretty committed.
But the trainers,
committed.
You know, we could see. Oh, come on. The trainers out there should have put their hands
up. Yeah, but Don, you're a player. You didn't listen to the trainers.
Oh, geez.
Really?
No. Yeah, but hang on. The trainer would know. I could see that this kid's in trouble.
Yeah, but you would have got up. You would have stood up.
Yeah, but you still got the shakes.
But once you stand up, you're not getting the stretcher, are you?
Oh, I don't know. I would have bought one out. I would have, just at that critical time, he was of no use to the team.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
Happened early in the game. Okay, fine. But that was critical.
Great discussion, boys. Rod and I have no idea what you're talking about, but good on you.
Because you didn't watch it.
That's correct. So that's why it's very good you speaking about it, because I have no idea.
Do you think Ken Hinckley, just hang on. You think Hinckley will retain his place, because he was under real pressure at the start of the year?
Absolutely.
And hang on, but they've only finished third or fourth.
Third. They're the highest ranked at the home and away, so they would have finished third. Yeah, of course. They'll announce a contract extension for Ken Hinckley in the next couple of months, certainly before the next season. He had a year to go. Had to play finals to trigger that clause. I think they're pretty happy with Ken, so they should be. I thought Kenny had a fantastic season in Port Adelaide.
And of course you'd rather go to the games, Robbie, because now that you have this profile, you can swagger through the crowd and people in hushed tones behind their hand will be saying, There he is. There's Mark Robinson. Did you hear what he said about... That's why it's a fantastic thing once you become a personality. Not that I've understood this because most of mine has been invective-laden, but yours would be, look at that man. There he is. And isn't he great?
Not sure about that.
No,
Sam.
I'm sure about it. Now, Robbie...
I am not sure. You're on social media.
Do you know what I thought you might have done, or I was waiting for someone to do it? The biggest story, in my opinion, this year was the fact that a side who got into the finals kicked one goal in three quarters of football last week, Collingwood against Geelong. I thought that is extraordinary and has nothing to do with football. And if someone didn't dismantle that game and performance and work out how 18 athletes can do that in a game of football, I thought that was the biggest story of the year.
The biggest.
It's close to the biggest discussion point we're going to have in the postseason.
Yes.
This season's really rushed, right? And in finals, as you guys know, as soon as one team loses, we sort of push on to the next week. And you don't really reflect. You don't reflect on Port Adelaide, and you don't reflect on Brisbane a lot because you're straight into the grand final. But that match, is that a microcosm of a bigger issue in the game?
Yes.
Which it is when 18 players can go against 18 players in the top level, and one team can kick one goal in three quarters. And if the AFL doesn't think that is a massive red flag. Well, the AFL's got their head in the sand.
Mark
Robbie. Oh, the game, mate.
Great point.
The game is about scoring. It's about scoring.
Yeah.
And we are now have introduced such defensive measures that they can actually stop another team from kicking one goal in three quarters of football on a massive ground.
This is not a bottom side. This is a side ostensibly playing for a grand final, Don. And we discussed this and you said, oh, that is the biggest thing that one people who are no better talented really when you put and match them up, some of them are better and some of them aren't, but fair dinkum, one goal in a finals game of football, that is a huge problem, I reckon. And
I agree with you.
I don't know why it wasn't discussed more.
Well, it was written up at the time, but you only get about a 24-hour news window and then you sort of push on. It is, but there's no doubt at the end of the season there will be some serious looks at where football is, where is it heading. So the finals we've watched thus far, I think some of them have been cracking games. I don't know about you, Don, but
thought Brisbane-Richmond, the first game was magic.
Yeah, it really was.
Port Adelaide and Richmond? And Richmond, magic.
Yeah, they were. Magic. They were fantastic games of football.
The other games you didn't give two bob for.
Because Geelong dismantled them. Oh. And
Dogs
made them.
Kilda was a good game?
That was a bit of circle work, I thought.
The bottom.
They was going in one end and then St Kilda were getting it and run it to the other, and it didn't have the intensity of the other finals performers. It just didn't have it. But we'll be looking at the game. There's no doubt, because they're going to reduce the quarters.
They will reduce the quarters.
No, it's 16 minutes this year. Yes. I think they'll go up to 18 minutes next year.
Really? Yeah. Why? I do not know why they muck around with this game. It was 25 minutes in time. It was unique, and the uniqueness has gone out of this game. That goal square. You know, the goal square. Why do you even have it painted on the ground? The players run off and over it. What is the point of the goal square? Why do they do all these things? The game was unique and it's just nothing now.
Oh, it's not nothing.
Well, it's nothing to what it was. It was, you know, the interchange, for example. You know, why have we fooled around with the uniqueness
You've had Kevin Bartlett on this podcast recently. I'm sure Kevin has brought up his frustration with the AFL. He would hope that the AFL next year would reduce interchange to nothing.
Exactly. So,
to zero.
Same
to
here.
To zero. But I think that's too harsh.
Why?
We've got to address progression in the game, but we can't let progression take over from some historical markers in the game. But we can't go from 140 to zero. The genie's gone. So I think we've got to bring it back to maybe 5 a quarter or 10 a quarter, maybe 40 a game.
But the interchange was brought in, Mark, for players just to go off, get a stitch, come back on the ground. It that was the essence of it.
Yeah, Mick Malthouse changed that.
Yeah, well, no, Brassy changed it back in the 70s by, you know,
What did Brassy do in the 70s?
Well, not the team's not lining up the way they were supposed to line up, and the interchange.
Getting it down to Hopkins.
The paper team wasn't the team that it actually was. There was a different grass team.
But that's separate to the interchange, isn't it?
Beg your pardon?
Mick used it. Mick Malthouse.
Well, then Sheedy started pushing for more because he said they were running out of steam or would kill someone.
Sheedy
wanted three.
Then, for example, Dane Swan would come on and do, you know, 400-300 metre shuttle runs, get as much ball as he can, and come off. After 5 minutes, have a 40-second rest, go back out there, and he was able to run at his optimum speed and for a short period of time, and then everyone just started rotating players.
Robbo, why aren't people like Lee Matthews, Malcolm Blight, Kevin Bartlett on the commission, and we put the specialised positions like mental health and whatnot on advisory boards rather than the commission, so that the game is being run by football people and they're looking at these issues? Because it feels like the commission don't really get themselves involved in this stuff, and that's really important.
Well, they do, but they're not very public. Richard Gordon has been criticised this year, the commission chairman, for not being more front and centre. But
he's not going to solve football issues.
Even Mike Fitzpatrick before that, he was a backseater as well. They let the executive led by Demetrio then and McLaughlin now to be the face spokesman for the competition.
But I'm talking about football issues, and the Stephen Hawking
to all this.
Yeah, no, it is.
Ultimately, if we're going to score one goal in three quarters, then none of the marketing and the attendances and all those other stuff is not going to follow. If you get the footy right, everything follows, doesn't it?
Yeah. Do you think the footy's right? Do you think the crowds will? Do you suspect that the crowds will go back up to record levels next year?
Maybe. In the first instance, I think they will.
Do you think the game will get back to what it ever was?
Yep, it's too much of a routine for people.
You do.
Yeah, it is a routine, and it is a major part of life.
It's 10 years from now. It's the 15-year-olds now that might not be going. It's not now. Right now, the people that are going are rusted on. It's if the 15-year-olds now are watching it and are not enthralled by it and engaged, and then they don't start going as adults, you know, and by when they're responsible for paying for the memberships, that's when it's going to be a problem. It's like a sausage factory. There's a bit of a delay in the...
Yeah, I read some data recently that the 16 to 24-year-olds or 10 to 24-year-olds, their numbers had dropped from watching the game.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. So it's not going to happen in the next couple of years. It's going to be an issue. It's a bit like Hawthorn's memberships. The way the Hawthorn played, you know, all of its success in the 80s and 70s and 80s with nobody.
Money in the bank down at Tasmania.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is they were successful in front of nobody, and then all the kids came through, and then now they've got a huge membership base. But what I'm trying to say is, why not put football people on the commission and put these specialist roles on advisory boards rather than... I'm not saying making them all football people. I'm just saying, but it doesn't seem to be any football people.
I would think that's a really good idea, but I would think that the commission might think that Lee Matthews isn't a person they can contact at any time,
Whoever. Okay, well then, why not KB? Why not Blighty? Other people with big ideas.
No, we're back to the Rod and Robbie show. You're right. there's a man said, I want to stand behind the scenes. I don't want to be part of this. Go ahead, Rod and Robbie.
All right.
Don and I just go. Please go ahead.
Let's go.
Do you think the lockdown has emphasised the fact that there's too many clubs playing in this competition? Surely North Melbourne and Melbourne, honestly, how do they stay afloat and how do they survive? And this has probably just exemplified the fact that they'll never have success while they've still got breath in their body, will they?
They will. They'll come again.
My fundamental position on this is I want to keep Melbourne and North Melbourne and St Kilda in the competition.
Yes.
And I'd hate to think that they went out. We all saw Fitzroy go out and they were destitute at the end. The finances in the game means that not a lot of clubs are as destitute or will be as destitute as Fitzroy ever was. So, no, I don't. I disagree with you.
A question.
Yeah. Could I ask you, just going on a bit from that, and I find it a bit of a contradiction that we've got, say, six clubs that are standing on their own at the moment, not getting any help through this COVID this situation with COVID.
Pandemic
or whatever. there are 12 clubs getting AFL assistance. Now, is it fair that the six that are standing by themselves now are eating into their asset? Now, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe sales marketing next year mightn't be as great. So consequently, they've got to go to their reserves. Is it fair on those six clubs who have built up through expertise, whatever they've got going for them, a bank, it's being eroded, yet these other 12 clubs who are being assisted by the AFL will still be rewarded? What is the point of going in and having a positive bank balance for clubs?
Could you repeat that question, Don, please? Robbie?
We've got to, first of all, I don't know the answer whether the clubs,
too heavy for you, that question?
No. Like, I'm still trying to get it through my head.
Oh, you don't. They're idiots, these blokes. Far out.
Go on. Keep them down to a sentence. The questions. Keep them down to one fucking sentence, Don, so he can digest it while you're speaking and can remember some of the points that you asked him.
The point I...
Get on to EBIT again.
Do these clubs, did they have the choice? Did the AFL say, you've got enough money in the system, you're not coming? Or did these clubs decide, no, we're going to stand on our own two feet, we'll pay our way? If they're deciding that, you stupid people. Go and get assistance. So you look after your reserves. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
But AFL, then you're getting debt.
Then the AFL tell them, no, you're not getting any assistance. The AFL wouldn't have said that.
You don't get the money for free. You've got to pay it back.
Oh, come on. What club pays their money back?
Well, this is a part of that $600 million that they went and loaned. So you're eating into that. So it's either you eat into that and create debt, or you're eating to your reserves.
I would say not one club will pay that money back that they get from the AFL. They won't. With interest,
well, St Kilda already owed $10 million and $11 million to the AFL.
Yep.
How do you pay that back?
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
So, Robbie, do you?
That's right.
That's my point. I don't want to get rid of St Kilda or Melbourne or Geelong. I wouldn't ever. Why so? If I was a supporter, but if St Kilda, Don's got a fair point. If St Kilda owed $10 million, what possible chance? It'll just be forgiven, the debt, and the competition will just grind on or go on in great joyous occasion, won't it? Nothing will ever happen.
And clubs like West Coast and Collingwood and...
get bigger and bigger and
Richmond,
stronger.
They get sick and tired of saying, are we propping up these teams again? Eddie Maguire.
Yeah, and what happened back, in the 70s? There was a breakaway led by Elliott and a number of clubs who wanted to try and set up their own competition because they were sick of being the powerhouses or being financially able to, and there were other clubs that just couldn't pay their way.
Yeah,
so they said, let's start up a new competition.
Yeah, that's well and good. You can say that. But when the arse fell out of Carlton for about 15 years, guess what? The rest of the competition
that was later on.
I know, but life's cyclical. Isn't it? You don't know what's going
on. Cyclical, Don, goes in cycles.
It's like a bike.
Cyclical, C-Y-C. Cyclical.
You hang it in the shed.
And we're not talking about some of you. Now, Robbie, this Reece Shaw.
Yep.
I'm not sure what his problem is. And would he have had this problem before? Do we know if he had this problem before he was appointed the coach? And if so, why would he have been appointed the coach? Or is that unfair to ask that?
No, it's not unfair.
What is wrong with Reece Shaw? He's got mental...
I'm not in a position to sit here and talk about Reece Shaw's private health.
No, but he's got... I presume he's got mental issues or...
He's away for personal reasons?
Yes.
Okay, and people can deduct from that what they want to deduct, but I'm not going to sit here and talk about
I'm not trying to put you...
No, I know you're not. I know. It's a really big... It's a really convoluted, complex story. What I will say is I don't think Reece Shaw will be coaching next year. There's a duty of care that North Melbourne, in my opinion, and the AFL, in fact, should adhere to.
What I'm asking is, Reece, would it have manifested itself since he became the coach? Or if it was an underlying problem before he was made the coach, maybe...
Coaching brought it on even further.
Yes. Stress.
It was a very stressful year. Absolutely. Reece spoke about the stress on coaches last year. Yeah.
Yes.
At Christmas time. I think I'm really looking forward to looking at what having a look at these Amazon documentaries.
Yes.
Of In Hub Life, and I don't think people there outside of the football clubs, I don't think we understand the pressure in that fishbowl environment of living in a hub, and what that role played on players and officials. I think as time goes on, we will learn how challenging that was.
Are you saying that there's a documentary being made on this?
On the hub's life?
Yes.
The Amazon crew has been with Richmond all year. Now, the Richmond doco will be unbelievable. They have had
so many things happen.
Did they get access to the player meetings after, for example, the night stack and the other boy got in a fight and got kicked out? Were they able to get access to the coaches' meeting? If they have, that'll be riveting TV. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But that hub life
the renovation?
Did
they film the renovation?
Of what?
Of Cochin's apartment.
Oh, yeah, that was early. Now, but just back on to Reece. Yes. Who knows? So Alistair Clarkson said on 360 last night, we must do something as an industry. The pressure on coaches. Right? He said...
Like what?
Now...
What is pressure?
Oh,
is it out there? Is it out there? Or do we manifest it ourselves?
Oh, I think it's both.
You think it's out there, do you? You catch it.
Catch pressure?
Yes.
Oh, it's hard to avoid pressure. If you're under the spotlight, like an AFL coach...
If your side's no good, the pressure goes straight onto the coach.
Absolutely.
And say you should be sacked and your family suffers. I understand that. But what do you do about it besides... delegating authority so much that everyone takes responsibility rather than the head man.
Yeah, but I think you're spot on there, Sam. I've spoken to some coaches saying, you guys have got it all wrong. You know, when it's going bad, it's a coach's fault. When it's going well, it's the defensive coach, the midfield coach, the defensive... You know, everyone plays a role in it. So, you know, I think maybe we get away from the bloodletting...
Yeah. Is it the insecurity of these people?
I don't know the answer to that, but that could possibly
so it's be a, it. It's an internal thing, in other words. That's what
no,
I'm
no,
getting
it's
to.
Internal, external. Well, how come every human's made up differently? And how can you set up a situation where the papers and the TVs and the radios are going after Reece Shaw, for example? This is crap. You're playing rubbish football. What's your game plan? What are you doing? How can you set someone up to deal with that pressure in a interview before he gets the job? How can you? I don't know how you could probably replicate that.
So it should be a bigger emphasis on the collective responsibility of the people who coach the side rather than just one person.
They are the figurehead, so they've got to take a level of responsibility. But I agree with you, there's got to be across-the-board responsibilities. Reece was a workaholic. Workaholic, mate. He was like 6 hours a day. And then
he didn't have a balance in his life.
He didn't have his balance in his life. Well, and he spoke about that last Christmas without not having a work balance. And then they go to the hubs and they lose. And then it's pressure and sadness and defeatism and just converged on the group. And maybe self-doubt crept in. Maybe... he didn't have the support structure up there to help him.
If I could just move on to a lighter subject.
You did bring that
one up,
I
don't know if you're
Sammy.
Ingratiated too much with the AFL that you can't comment on this, but for a group of people to sit around a table and say, I tell you what we'll do, we'll go down to the MCG and we'll dig up a piece of grass and we'll put it in a refrigerated truck and we'll drive it up to the Gabba and we'll put it on the Gabba ground to sit around and make that decision, to me is extraordinary. What or do you think? No, that's a very good thing that they did.
I'm still getting over the fact you think that I'm ingratiated to the
AFL. No, it was a throwaway line, Mark Robbie.
Okay, Sammy Newman, but
Oh, would you criticise the
walk out, well, Robbo.
Right?
Walk out.
No,
that is extraordinary.
You throw in one line as just a little dig with a knife.
Yeah.
Only to keep you on the edge of your chair.
As soon as someone pulls you up on it, it was only a throwaway line.
Well, it was a throwaway. What do you think? I think that you're beholden to the AFL.
I'm not.
Well, do you that think decision, I think that?
No, I know you don't. Okay, now I know you don't. I don't think the AFL paid a cent for that.
But what would they do
somebody
it for?
Somebody did, though.
Yeah, someone did.
And some people are losing jobs.
Well, I did see a player.
In the AFL industry.
I'm not worried about that.
I did see a player on the MCG talking about this, right, with a big label on his T-shirt.
That okay. Right.
And I'm thinking,
as the removal company, was it? Or the,
no.
Who? What label was it?
Strathair.
I'm not going to say.
Strathair or something.
I'm not going to
say. Or Grass Company or whatever.
It was a sporting company.
Why would you do
and
that?
And I'm thinking, this is an ad.
Ah, right.
This is an ad.
We missed that.
This company paying for this.
Oh, okay.
And it's the ad. And the AFL probably said, it's not a bad idea. It's if the AFL paid $100,000 or whatever it was to remove grass to the MCG... The commission should resign.
No, I'm not worried about them whether they did or they didn't. Why would they say, yeah, go ahead, dig it up and take it up there? Why would you put yourself up for ridicule?
Well, there's an explanation. You've just given us the explanation.
I don't think they paid a cent. AFL, and if they did pay a cent, someone should be held accountable.
But the AFL must have given their damn imprimatur on it.
If they're not paying for anything, and they're not paying for anything, and it's just a bit of grass.
Yeah.
Whack it in. MCG was at the Gabba.
That's a loaf. Very good. You think outside the square. Well done.
Mate, good on you, Robbie.
Thank you, Donny. Yeah,
well has that done. Been?
Thank you, Donny.
Is that explanation been canvassed before?
No.
You've broken this on our podcast.
Well, I just can't believe the AFL would pay money to move grass.
But
there's got to be. And I saw
your explanation.
I saw the advertising, and I went,
Oh, really?
Who was it? Give him a plug.
Yeah, tell her.
Give him a plug for doing it.
Why not?
Yeah. No, Rebel.
Right, Rebel.
Red Bull.
Rebel.
No, Rebel.
Rebel. I'm going to be a little bit ignorant here. I don't know what Rebel.
Rebel Sports.
Sporting Gear.
Right. Yeah.
Sports Gear.
Red Bull is get you up and about.
So a player was on the
MCG. Okay. If that's the case, that bit of grass mightn't even get up to Brisbane.
Why? What would happen to it?
Well, if Rebel said, we got our exposure, it's in the, you know, we don't even know if it got in the truck, it might have gone back in the ground at the MCG.
It's on its nature strip.
Yeah. One time the truck would arrive at the Gabba and there'd be film of it coming out and relocating it. Well, that's
just throwing a whole new thing on this.
Just watch.
What?
When they do the news cross,
the Rebel.
If someone's wearing a Rebel T-shirt. That's all.
Abby Holmes.
This world is...
Did you see Abby Holmes wearing high heel stilettos? First game against Brisbane, she got bogged. Can you believe that?
No, I didn't see that.
Didn't you? She's got runners on now. She looks like she's going to the Melbourne Cup in runners.
No, I didn't see that.
See if you can reduce it down to the fact that we'd be sexist, Don. Give that a... That's a very well done. I've never thought of that, and I should have thought of that because I'm usually pretty good at thinking in reverse psychology. But I take that on advisement. That's a very, very good.
The whole world's about advertising. The whole world is about placement of advertising. Oh, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I was looking at an ad on TV the other night. It was the Coles ad, and I don't know who the guy is. He's a pretty popular guy. He was on TV or something, I don't know, a chef or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Curtis Stone.
Is that him?
Yep.
Dustin Fletcher's mate.
Is it? So I'm looking at him, and he's, you know, he's always cooking in the backyards and stuff, and then I was looking at the ad, and it was a Middle Eastern family he was doing it with. I said, this is an interesting advertising change. They've already got the Anglo-Saxon white people buying at the supermarket. We've got to find new market. We've got to find new markets so we can make more money. So instead of getting you and your
Sam
family,
we've
already got the 70-year-olds. We've got to get new markets. So they place different things. So
you don't think the state government made them do it through their inclusion policy?
Don't know, maybe the Coles have already got their own inclusion policy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're all pretty keen on making money. So that's what I know that sounds ridiculous, but...
No, it doesn't sound ridiculous.
What was it?
It doesn't sound ridiculous.
I thought you said it doesn't sound ridiculous.
You're in a better mood today, Mark. Last time you were in, you're a little bit apprehensive. Why
about
you in
what?
Well, I don't know. Coming on, you're very light today. What's wrong? You're on stuff?
Well, he's amongst friends, Don.
What do you mean?
You're on stuff.
I'm apprehensive.
Oh, you're still.
You're on
stuff.
You're
not showing it. Your hands are crossed now, so that's not good body language. That's better.
Look, anyway, Don.
The amateurs, you
I got told last time I spoke too much, so I'm trying to have
We want
told
to
speak.
Everyone.
Did I...
a lot of people.
What did I hear today? Is Jeremy Cameron on the move?
Yes, Jeremy Cameron.
So I thought Jeremy Cameron, this is the last year of when I was on the footy show, so that must have been 3 or 4 years ago, was going to be the preeminent player in this competition. Is he dropped off? What's happened to him?
Oh, he certainly dropped off this
year. Has he? Why?
Well, he only kicked 20 goals from a key forward.
He wasn't emotionally involved.
Well, that's interesting. And only Jeremy can speak about
that. I've seen it over a couple of years. Daniel Chick, when he was at Hawthorn, his last year was a shocker, yet goes to West Coast, plays in the Premiership side and resurrected him. He wasn't emotionally involved. So something was going on. Lance Franklin, his last year at Hawthorn, he wasn't emotionally involved. He was more interested in what's going on in Sydney.
Maybe we'll find out.
Ben Brown, he's got more to offer than what he showed North Melbourne this year.
I don't think Ben Brown's in the same discussion as the other two in terms of the emotion.
Emotion?
Bennett this year didn't know he was leaving. Maybe the other two, maybe. Buddy knew he was leaving.
Exactly.
I don't know about Daniel Chick, and now it's coming out that Geelong have been chasing Jeremy Cameron for 3 years. Maybe Jeremy decided at last summer, I'll be leaving. Maybe he didn't. The talk is that he wrestled with the decision up until about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
And COVID cost him plenty of dough, didn't it?
Why would
COVID? Because they halved their contract. They halved their contract.
And his contract. So he didn't just lose money from this year. He, in effect, lost money from every year.
But that was every player.
A very back-ended contract. So he was meant to earn a shitload this year to make up for some early years where he didn't get as much as he should have.
Oh.
So it's actually hit him harder than
so
most.
So Franklin's in the same boat then?
No, I think his was the other way around. He was
he was more convoluted. There was up and down and front-ended and back-ended and... The thing about Jeremy Cameron, he's the kind of guy...
Hang on, can I just... if you've got a contract, don't you have to honour that contract? They'd have to honour that contract, surely. Disregarding COVID.
I think that's what he's arguing.
No, they can't. They can't, because the AFL Players Association agree, which he's a member of, that they will take a 50% pay cut.
Now, Mark Robinson.
Yes.
I want you to give us your opinion of him, and you're amongst friends, and we'll pass it on if he doesn't hear it. You interviewed Mike Sheehan, who's wound it up after 300 years of being on the television and writing on every paper that's ever been printed. You've interviewed him, you and Jared, for his last session on Open Mic. What do you make of him, and what did you ask him? And then we're going to get your tip for the grand final. I know you're going to give it in the paper, but we're going to preempt it.
That's right.
You're going to give it first
here. Don't worry about the tip. The more important part of that discussion is mine.
Yes.
He did mention the podcast, actually.
Yes.
And
he's desperate to come back on, but we're not sure if we'll let him come back.
Is that word desperate again?
We did. I did speak to him about that privately.
What, the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, what did he say?
Not here.
Not here.
No.
What do you mean not here?
I'm not speaking about it here. That was a private conversation between.
Well, why would you bring it up? You're just fucking. Oh shit! I shouldn't say that. Sorry. I apologise.
I apologise.
You're just trying to hook us.
I'm reading.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm reading between the lines. Mm. Saying, look, I'm tempted to come back, but I'm not going to. I just can't stand the pressure from my so-called friends.
Yeah, you talk to Mike about that. I'll talk about the...
yes.
Well, you've known... Let's be honest. Don, you don't know Mike that very well. You probably don't even like him that much.
That's true.
Sam...
Can we edit this part?
Sam and Mike, you've been friends for a long time.
Yes.
And I met Mick. I started in August 92. Mick arrived at the Herald Sun in January 93.
From the age.
So I've worked with him all the way through, gone to all his kids' 21st, been a friend of the family, and it really was an honour when Fox rang up and said, can you and Jared interview him?
That goes to air
Tonight.
Tonight, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, mm-hmm. Tuesday tonight. He got emotional. He got emotional. I asked him if he'd been a good father. Had football taken away?
Well, that's getting a bit heavy, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's good questions.
Aspects of being a parent.
Family life.
Yeah. I don't think anyone involved in football as much as Mick has and coaches and all that. You could not possibly say you were the world's greatest father. You just couldn't, because the football takes so much physically and emotionally. So, yeah, we speak about that. We speak about some interviews that didn't work. He had a clip for a couple of people. It was a goodbye interview, and it's actually I'm not happy with him and him. So that was which is not unlike Mike.
No.
Unlike Mike, isn't it, to really clip people.
I don't think he's ever got over Mark Jackson. I said, Mark Jackson put you on the map. I tell you what, that was fantastic what Mark Jackson did, because people saw what Mark was like and they saw what you had to cop, and it's I thought that is about as entertaining as you can get.
Yeah.
He doesn't see it that way.
You know Mick wouldn't see it as entertaining. No, I didn't see it as entertaining either.
No, but it was entertaining like it. Because it was so off.
It was. In the show tonight, they replay some of that commentary, and I was looking at Michael, and it still hurt him, and when we asked him about it, he said it's really confronting to hear someone say what Jackson said about yourself.
Yeah.
To hear it back. And yeah, that wounded him, actually, I reckon.
I will not understand that ever. How anyone could say something to you, or you could say something to me, that I would take absolute offence at, because they're just words.
Yeah, but you're a rarity like this, Sam. You're a rarity. And you must admit that. You've got a sharp tongue. You've got a witty brain. People say you can use it for good or you can use it for evil, and that's just what people say, and it's true. And the criticism coming back, people can't handle that. Now you might say that's weak, but that's a strength of yours, that you can be dismissive of personal criticism. Other people can't be dismissive of personal criticism.
That. And Mick is absolutely at the polarised opposite end. He is so sensitive and so worried about what people think of him. And it sounds like we're speaking behind his back. I say this to him. I said this to him many times, particularly on this forum here about the podcast.
Sounds like a good show.
It will be. It's good. Really, and it was sad at the end. It was. He's 50 years. 50 years in the game. Think about that. You have been that long, Sam. You know, writing, playing. Yep. We talk about when he played for Werribee, working at the Werribee Banner, going down to Tasmania.
I'm very glad.
It's a big, big contribution to the game.
I'm very glad, Robbie, that you asked questions that – unusual questions, off the grid questions, which are good. Or it's no good just asking who's your favourite player.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's your favourite player and who – But all those other questions are what makes an interview, if I could possibly say that, Mark Robbie. Now,
thank you.
I know you've probably given this prediction before, but we would like to say we're the first with it. And your prediction for the grand final.
No one really cares, let's be honest.
Yes, they do.
Well, who do you think will win, Sam?
I've got no idea.
Neither do I. I have to pick a team. That's
my point.
So it comes down to a lot of things in football. It comes down to faith in whatever the team is doing and relationships with people at those clubs. Would I be really happy for Patrick Dangerfield to win a flag? Yes, I will. I think he's...
You won't ask who do you want to win.
Want to win will probably influence who I think should win. How can you separate Geelong and Richmond at the moment? I mean, they're both playing fantastic football.
Don thinks it's easy. He thinks Geelong are just hobbling around.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out.
I understand your sentiment. I'd like to see Selwood. He's already got three.
But Paddy Dangerfield has never won one. I think he's been a colossal footballer.
Yeah.
Just a colossal footballer. Fantastic. And it'd be great to say, describe Patrick Dangerfield, one day's premiership player, Patrick Dangerfield. At Richmond, Dustin Martin wins a fourth Norm Smith. We could say, my God. Yep. A third Norm Smith, I should say. Yep. God, we've seen a player win three Norm Smiths. We had Gary Ayres, and we've had who else has won two? Andrew McLeod has won two. Gary Ayres has won two. That could
did,
be
Dane Swan. Did he win one?
No,
didn't
no,
win one.
No, Pendlebury won 2-10.
So the critical question about tipping is: did you tip Collingwood to beat Geelong? Whoever tipped
No.
So that just shows you how ridiculous tipping is. If someone could say that I'll tip Collingwood to beat Geelong a fortnight ago, that you may as well just that just shows you the whole stupidity, the whole.
It's inane. It is inane.
Thing
is
of tipping. It's just really just a fun. Buzz that you get out
it's
of
fun.
Saying. Yep, it
so
is.
So Geelong your tip.
What did you? Yes. Who did you tip?
Yeah, I think Geelong. Geelong.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Polar opposites. Don thinks Richmond.
But we're not going to be the only ones. I think there's going to be a lot of people picking Geelong and Richmond. What do you? It's like everything in sport. Do you stay with the champs?
No.
Do you stay with the champs and say no, they're too good, or sport happens all the time in sport, or you get on the challenger. And if the champs win, they go, oh, they're the champs. But if the challenging gets over and you say, well, you can't be on top forever. You just can't be. They're up there. This is their fourth year that Richmond have been probably the best team in the competition, and they've got two flags. Got dumped in the 2018 preliminary final by Collingwood. And they go again. They win 3 from 4. Wow.
Righto.
What a team. But if Geelong can knock them on.
Last, off the top of your head without
you get
notice.
A bit bored
what
there,
is
did
you? One. No. No. What? An if, I'll give you an if. What is one thing as the competition rebounds next year, what is the one thing you'd do to change the game? What one thing would you implement next year that would be better? Why is the goal square there?
No, I don't worry about the goal square. The one thing that the AFL, in my opinion, should do is have starting positions at every stoppage.
And
they used to do that. The umpires used to.
Every stoppage.
By drawing lines across the ground.
No, they've already got lines there.
Well, how do you do it?
At every stoppage, you've got to have three pairs inside 50-metre penalty, inside the 50-metre
arc. Well, that would bring back positional football, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is A, positional football, Don, but B, what I think most people would like is taking players away from the contest. Because if you watch the game, it's just player piling after player piling, and you get it. There's no room to move the ball because you get tackled straight away. We've got to take those players away. We've got to stretch the ground. And how do you stretch the ground? You say, you can't come. And what will happen, mindset, first couple of times, they'll drift too far away and there'll be a free kick paid for not getting back. They won't drift too far out.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Don't you think the top teams are playing and getting the ball in there pretty quick? Geelong are not as quick, but certainly Brisbane were, and Port Adelaide and Richmond were. They were, do you think the others will start and follow?
Maybe.
And also the structure of the teams by having bigger fellows down on the forward line to kick it to.
Maybe. That's a truly interesting one. They're a lot of key forwards. They didn't have a great year, the key forwards. Didn't have a great year at all. Mm. The makeup of the team, we don't want 6 foot twoers running around everywhere. That's not right.
But it hasn't changed that the crummers, as long as the big fellas are contesting, the crummers are the ones that kick the goals.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's what I would do. We've got to spread the ground. You know what? The kids like goals. You know what? Seriously, footy's entertainment, and we're so passionate about it. But we've still got to entertain. Now, if you want a brutal game of football of 6 goals to 5 goals, and you always say, "God, that was a tough game." Tick, you're going to get that. But when I was a young fella, Lockett, Ablett, how many did Lee Matthews kick today? He kicked 13-5 at Princess Park. What? I mean, that's they're called heroes, but they're not heroes in the sense of the world, but they're sporting heroes. And goals and marks is what makes people go,
"Oh." That's right. Tom Hawkins winning the Coleman medal with
44 goals or something.
Yeah, as opposed to Pete Hudson, who won it with 150. That's when you think.
Yeah, but he would have kicked in a normal year. He might have kicked 80 because they played half a game of football, an hour of footy.
17 rounds to they would have played five more games
and only an hour.
But do we want that? Does the AFL want that? Do the coaches have too much to say? No.
Yeah, don't let the coaches do it.
So does the AFL want goal kickers back? If they want goal kickers back, they've got to implement rules give the key forwards an opportunity to kick goals.
So you're saying contrive the way the game's played for the betterment of the game?
Yes.
Yes, that's... Now, this is an if book. We asked Don this. I want to see if you're on the same page. The question was, if you could have the largest collection of anything in the world... The largest collection of anything in the world, what would it be? Would you like me to give you Don's...
No, just... I'll tell you what...
All right.
Don said power tools or something.
Don said horse bits.
There's two of them there.
These are fucking horse bits there. Would you like the largest collection of them? As opposed to stamps or cars or art or gold or money?
Don't give him examples. Come on.
What would you like? The largest
collection? I heard you say that. And I just thought they were just bits hanging on a hook. They're actually encased.
No, those ones are. His aren't.
I've got a collection of them at home, but these have been... Horse bits. Alistair gave them to me.
A collection.
Well, What fascinates you?
I'd like to have the largest collection of money.
That's what I said. That's what I said. See, we're thinking outside the square.
Any more?
You can buy it on everything you like, but you can give it to people. You can give it to your friends and family.
You can be a philanthropist.
And change people's lives. So here, I've got... This much, you have some. And
yeah, but you haven't got a car, I'll buy you a car.
Yeah. People say you're a smart ass for doing that, but wouldn't that be wonderful if you had that ability to make people's lives better?
Righto, Mark Robinson, this is the second last question.
I'm a bit worried about this.
No, not difficult, because we've never asked this before. Don, you can be in this. If you could have the answer to any question, what would you ask? If you could have the answer to any question that you wanted to ask someone, what would you ask?
Who or what created the universe?
The science would say the Big Bang. The evangelists
believers,
would say, hey?
The believers would say...
The believers would say himself, G-O-D. Gary Ablett, Sr.
Wouldn't that be a great... Wouldn't that... Oh, imagine having that answer.
And Don?
Happiness.
What's the question?
What was the question?
If you could have the answer to any question, what would you ask? What's the answer? Why is happiness an answer?
Well,
to
how
that?
Do you get happiness?
If you could have the answer bad. To any question, what would you ask?
Happiness. What the worst?
Happiness. Or so you're saying what makes you happy?
Yeah, happiness, contentment.
Are you saying you haven't got it?
No, how do you get it?
Yeah, how do you get it, Donald?
Well, I don't know how you get it, but you certainly know when you haven't got it.
But how do you get it? That's what I want to know.
Just have a pretty happy outlook.
Finally, Mark
Robbie.
Have a
happy outlook on life, don't you? Look at the positives all the time and rather look at the negatives. Mindset.
If you could pick the most difficult question you could be asked, what would it be? What would you not want someone to ask you? No, that's a ridiculous question. No, I'm sorry. I'm not
that
back.
You can't ask that one.
Well, that's what's in the book. Pick one out. You pick
that,
one out.
That is...
No, that's ridiculous.
This would be a great game. That book would be unbelievable. It's a...
If you're pissed.
You got 12:30 at
night. Oh, here we go, Robbo.
And you're sitting around.
Right, here's Rod to come up with this one.
Roddy.
If you could decide what was written on your gravestone, what I want this from all of you. What would you have inscribed?
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
The age, my date. Don't like you want to know.
I've been asked this before. I've said I would have in very small writing so that people would have to peer down and look at it.
If you see this, get fucked.
Just when you just peer down and look at it, would say fuck off.
That's ridiculous, Don.
I would have nothing except my.
Oh, kids and your grandchildren.
That's all I'd have. Yeah.
What about fuck off? Stop people. Piss off. Don't leave me alone.
You blokes are boring.
They're boring.
Well, come on, Robbie.
Or what would you have?
I'd have Mark Robinson. He wasn't a bad bloke.
Okay. What would you have, smart ass?
I told you I was crook.
I told you I was a crook. Oh, yeah. You've rehearsed that. Yeah, yeah. That someone is else, not you. No, have
someone
actually
else,
rehearsed.
Someone else did that. I can't remember who. Some yeah, comedian no, put that on there. No,
that's right.
George Burns, I think.
Yeah.
I like the fuck off one. I like the fuck
off. Wasn't
one.
A bad bloke. Do you know what the best thing you can be called almost?
Is what?
Saying he was a decent bloke.
Yeah, absolutely. Decent. Yeah, that's a wonderful compliment.
Decent. Yeah, it is.
A decent man.
A decent bloke.
Would okay, you if you could have the home phone pay, number,
would you qualify for decent?
Not in a minute. Not while. No. Not while there is shortage of food in the world. Would I qualify for
if
that?
If you could have the home phone number of anyone in the world, whose would it be, and what would you say to them?
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to say. Tick, tick.
Yeah, no.
Can I have the home phone number of someone who's dead?
Okay, whatever.
Yes.
I'd like to have Hitler's home phone number and I would ring him up and say,
what were you thinking?
Fuck, man, what was going through your head?
Robbie.
And he has to answer. And he has to answer the truth.
Well, he says it more like.
I tell you, the money thing I said, and I said someone,
no,
I said
friend.
Exactly that, and they said, that's a disgrace. I said, mate, I'm not condoning anything he did. I would ask him, what the fuck are you on about,
what
mate?
What were you doing?
That's exactly right.
Give us another one, Rod. This is good.
You're just saying that.
I know. I'm just sitting here listening.
But answer that one. What was whose it? Home phone number am I
don't
asking?
Know if I'd want anyone's home phone number.
Don, play the game, Don. Well, I'd have the Trumpster, and I'd say, man, you're fantastic.
I wouldn't bother.
You guys would have phone sex. What are you wearing, Don? Oh. What have you got on, Sammy?
Snap your garters for me, Don, over the phone. Yeah. All right.
Come on. No one, Don. You don't want anyone's phone number.
I really don't want to talk to anyone.
Well, mine?
This is what you. This is following up from your happiness question
That's
before.
Right. You won't let yourself go and be part of the game.
It's so negative and down and dark.
Oh, bullshit. Have a listen. Look at you. Looked at yourself in the mirror lately.
Here's no, it's not that I look. It's like...
He's playing the game, Don.
We're
play the
fun.
Fucking
we're
game.
Having fun.
Here's Who a good would one. You like to have a phone
I
number of?
Anyway, keep going.
The man in Jerusalem.
Shut up.
All right. If you could steal one thing in the world other than money without getting caught, what would you take?
Gold. I'd like to.
It's a one thing, Don.
Oh, jeez.
Take one bar of gold.
Listen, every answer I give, you're shit, you all going.
Every time we speak, we encourage him to speak.
Oh,
and as soon as he speaks, he's to attack him.
Gold was the money question. If you could have the largest collection of anything and it'd be gold.
Oh, shit.
If I could steal one thing in the world, it would be Halle Berry's heart.
What about Halle Berry?
Halle Berry's heart.
Robbo?
Oh God, that's very nice.
You're up, Robbo.
What would I steal? I would steal the Mona Lisa.
All right, this is the last one. I like this one.
Just nothing to that.
Why?
Rubbish answer.
Because everyone could say someone has stolen the Mona Lisa.
You've all tried to pinch money. You've basically all tried to pinch money still.
Have you seen
without pinching money?
Have you seen have you ever seen the Mona Lisa at the
yes,
Louvre?
Yes, I have.
It's about as big as that book.
Yeah, that was really disappointing.
Yeah, it was.
There's such a build-up. You arrive at the Louvre and you say, right, where's the Mona Lisa? And you fold
out.
About
as big as that computer
And you
tablet.
Walk in and it's like a... It is. It's like a computer tablet size.
Yep.
You think, oh.
All right, this is a good one.
And then you look at it for
it's
2 seconds.
Biggest con in the world, that, mate.
And then you walk away.
Seriously, we're saying, oh, how great's that? I said, shit, it's just a picture of a girl on a postage stamp.
Now, Sam, you need to be honest with this one. If you could relive one single day from your past exactly as it was the first time, what day would you choose to experience all over again?
Ooh, wow.
Well, I wouldn't like to be there. I said I'd never go again, but it was the birth of my first
That's not
child.
The right answer because you didn't go the second time.
I know. If you... Jeez, you blokes are frustrating.
Come on, give me something up in that. That's boring.
It's not...
I thought everyone says marriages and kids. Okay, outside
well,
of
Well, it changed.
Kids,
it changed your life from
If you
thinking.
Could relive... So outside... I'm going to say this now. Outside of kids and marriage, right?
Oh, okay.
If you could relive one single day from your past exactly as it was the first time, what day would you
one
choose to experience
day.
All over again?
Okay, the 1971 Grand Final.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. This will sound trite. The day I went to the airport with my friends and I'd upgraded them. I had upgraded them. Went to New York Airport to fly to London on the 1992-3, and instead of getting on a jumbo jet to fly to London, we diverted. I was the only one that knew. I diverted my three friends I was travelling with onto the Concorde, and we flew on the Concorde from New York to London, and the look that they got on their face of just that snoop-nosed plane sitting there amongst my friends said, Jesus, how would you like to be, or how would you like to fly on that? And I said, well, step this way, we're going on it. And we did, and that was the most exhilarating day of my life with my friends.
Because it made your friends.
It did. It,
and if and that made him happy.
Well, that's
made me happy.
Make everyone happy. If you can make your friends happy, that's
what's yours?
That's awesome.
Robbo?
Oh, personally, I'll never, this is selfishly, I will never ever forget the feeling I had when I walked into Disneyland for the thought of myself.
I know,
this is that's amazing. I grew up in Bendigo. Yeah. Every Sunday night, the Disney show would come on, and that music would come on. Great. And Disneyland was this, unbelievable. I didn't know it existed. Yeah. It was this far-flung paradise for kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember pulling up at Anaheim and walking in.
Yeah, thinking, I've been there.
How great is this? We're just about to walk into
Disneyland.
I feel like
that kind of show.
And I loved every moment of the hours we spent there.
It had the same effect upon me. And I went there. Everybody. They're so neat. The attendant, everything's clean. Their collars are clean. They're pristine. And I sat there at lunchtime, looking at, in this rotunda of a band playing a song, and I thought, now how the hell are they going to get off this stage? You know, this stage, and there was no steps down to the concourse or the asphalt. Where are they going to walk? Such a polished performance. You know what happened? The rotunda just sunk into the ground. And you wouldn't even know there was a rotunda there. It was just so professional.
Were you happy?
It blew me away. I just sat there. The same effect.
Who are you travelling on, the solo or with someone?
No, the football team.
Oh, the football team. Yeah. I'll be
76, I think it was, the football.
70 people.
But back to the question, that was selfish, I said, but the most one is when you make your friends and family happy. There's no doubt. I mean, in 92,
right.
I went overseas in 1990 and got back in 1992. And I'll never forget the day I got off the bus or train back in Bendigo. And I went home and saw my mother and my family for the first time in 2 years. That was
exciting.
It was exciting for them. Yeah. It was exciting for my mother. I've never seen my... Like, I was away for 2 years. It's a long time to... Long time to be away.
Rocket, no, you're going to give us your answer. No, seeing as you've had most of this interview with Robbie, you may as well give us...
I just asked the questions. No one, come on.
It's basically the Sam, Rod and Don show today.
Today it was.
Mark Robinson, thank you very much for coming in, giving us your insight into football. And we are all your friend, and we're just so proud that we are. And thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.